ourselves together and get ready for our class. Appreciate everybody coming down the hall tonight for this. This is going to be our third in a series of four classes on parenting for elementary school age parents. As the kids are elementary school age, not the parents.
Amen.
Y'all seem to have figured that out, so we're all good. Just don't want any uncertainty on a point like that. But yeah, we're going to be talking about, this is week three, so week one was talking about God. You know, the foundation of a great family is loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Last week was part two, was talking about mom and dad, the parents, and sort of, you know, how you interact with the kids, what sort of the role of the parents is in all this. This week we're talking about the kids, so God, the parents, the kids. And then next week we'll be talking about the world. Okay, and that sort of covers the subject once you've been through all that. So we're going to talk tonight about the kids, and what that's going to be is a lot of that is going to be about discipline and expectations and boundaries and how you get kids to stay in bounds.
Okay,
and you know, it's I hate to disappoint you, but we're not going to have magic words that are going to fix everything. All right, but we're going to have some things that hang on there, you know. If you'll do the things, we're going to read these things right out of the Bible, okay? So God knows what he's talking about, okay? You know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the world. He spoke the universe into existence, you know. And if he could do that, he knows how to raise your kid.
Right?
He made him, all right? So that's what we're going to be talking about. So before we go any further, let's start out with a prayer. Father, we are so grateful that you love us, that you are our Father, that you show us how to be a father and how to raise our children. Father, I'm grateful that you have given us in scriptures all these instructions on how to be parents and what kind of parents you want us to be.
Yes.
Father, we pray that as we look at your word, as we encourage one another, Father, help us to understand, help us to have the resolve and the devotion to be consistent and to do the things that you call us to do. Mm-hmm. Father, we pray that you would help us to guide our kids, help our kids to have open hearts.
Yeah.
Father, help us to raise up children that will grow up to be great disciples.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we need you. We love you. Be with me as I teach this. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. So again, we talked about a lot of good stuff out of Deuteronomy 6 and 7 in the first week. I hope you'll go back and look at that stuff. Because
right.
This sort of, you know, broad brush covers the whole subject.
Yeah.
You know, it basically all these different things we're covering in the subsequent weeks are touched on there.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of great stuff about loving God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, about, you know, immersing your household in the scriptures.
Right.
How's that going? I hope we're doing that.
Come on.
I hope we're talking about the scriptures in our house, talking about them with our kids.
Right.
We're putting them into our own lives. We're using them to we're repenting when we do wrong, and we're telling our kids, you know, I should have done this differently, and here's what the scriptures say about that. And when our kids need to repent, we're going to be talking about some of that some more today. We use those scriptures for that too, and basically demonstrate to our kids, we're modeling for them how to submit to the authority of God.
Right.
Okay, and if we're submitting to authority, they're going to learn to submit to authority, and that'll include your authority. Okay, so that's kind of a big part of this. So what we're going to do to start with, you know, as I've just prayed, you know, God shows us how to be parents, and in particular, he shows us how to discipline. Look over in Proverbs chapter 3, and we'll jump right in here. Somebody read for us verses 11 and 12 when you get there. Just speak up loud so that everybody can hear you. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12.
It says, "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline, and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father the son he delights in."
Okay. He compares God's discipline to what? To the way a father disciplines his children, right? God is our father, and he shows us how that ought to be done. And of course, the teaching here is to the son, to the child, it's like, don't resent it when you're being corrected, when you're being disciplined. It's for your good, right? This would be a great passage to show your kids, you know. And, you know, to not, don't resent it when you're being rebuked, when you're being corrected. And it's what, when a parent corrects the children, you're doing what God does. You're imitating God.
Yeah.
And it's what He calls us to do. Look over in Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs is full of these. Proverbs 19, verse 18. So what we're going to look here is a series of Proverbs talking about why discipline your children. Okay? And you know, let's pick these up and make sure we're getting all these things. That, you know, just these are, they're all going to kind of sound familiar, but each one of them has a little different flavor of why discipline your children. Proverbs 19, verse 18. Discipline your son, for in that there is hope. Do not be a willing party to his death. Wow. What do you think the point is there?
If you leave him alone, he's going to die.
If you don't discipline them, there's no hope.
Right.
All right? If you discipline them, there is hope. Okay? Your discipline is what makes the difference.
Yeah.
Okay? When the child goes off course, you're bringing them back. Right? Right? You're disciplining them. You're showing them, don't do that again. Mm-hmm. You know? We'll talk more about that, but that's how you create hope that your child is going to be a successful adult. It's going to be a disciple one day.
Right.
All right. Proverbs 22:15. Folly is bound up in the heart of a child, but the rod of discipline will drive it far from him.
Amen.
Okay.
Work it out.
So here's a question for you. Is there any folly bound up in the heart of your child?
Yeah.
A little bit.
A little bit?
Time.
Okay. Well, you know, how do you get it out of there?
Discipline. Knock it out with the rod.
Okay. The rod of discipline, right?
The rod of discipline.
Okay. Just shaking your head and smiling and saying, I wish you hadn't done that. Think that's what he's saying?
No.
I don't think that's what he's saying.
Bonking.
There's a spanking. All right, there's the rod of discipline. All right, there's got to be a penalty. It's got to. Well, we'll talk more about this. But the penalty for doing wrong has to be greater than the pleasure of doing wrong. Right. Otherwise, they'll look at it and say, "It's worth it. I'll do it again." Right. Okay. So he says, and basically, what is it that the rod does?
Drives
the folly out. Yeah, if there's folly in your children, I think most of you were admitting to a little bit of that, right? If there's folly in your children, you need to be doing this because you need to get it out. Okay, we'll look at some more passages. Proverbs 13. These are not, for some reason, I didn't do these in order. Okay, Proverbs 13, verse 24. It says, he who spares the rod hates his son.
Yep.
But he who loves him is careful to discipline him.
Wow.
Okay? So, why does this verse say that you discipline your child?
Because
you love them.
Yep.
Okay? And that if you don't discipline your child, what does it compare it to? What does it call it?
Hate.
Hate. You are doing what destroys your child's future.
Yeah.
Wow. I know none of us would consciously say, I want to destroy my child's future.
Right.
Okay. But if we're refusing to discipline our child, what are we doing?
Destroying.
We're destroying our child's future. Mm-hmm. We're hating them. We're treating them as though we want them to fail. Okay. Mm-hmm. They're just not worth our time. I don't want to, it's not easy. I don't like doing this. I don't want to do this. So if I don't discipline my child, it is as though, I mean, it is. It's a form of treating them with hate. It is. It's not just as like hating them. It says he hates his son. Doesn't say he's like someone who hates his son. Okay, that's pretty strong language. Okay. Proverbs 23, verses 13 and 14. Still looking at passages about why discipline your children. Proverbs 23, starting in verse 13. Do not withhold discipline from a child. If you punish him with a rod, he will not die. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death.
Wow.
Okay. So why does this verse say that you ought to discipline your children?
Save their soul.
Save their soul from death. What does that suggest to you? What would happen if you didn't discipline them? Their soul would die, right? They would lose their soul because their parents refused to discipline them. You love your kids, right?
Yeah.
You believe in God. You believe there's going to be a judgment. And that, for, in particular, your kids also are going to have a judgment, aren't they?
Right. Yes.
How are you going to prepare them for that?
Yeah.
Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. You want your kids to grow up to love God. You want them to grow up to be disciples. You want them to go to heaven. You want God to tell your child one day, well done, good and faithful servant.
That's right.
How do you get there? Okay. Punish him with a rod and save his soul from death. All right. Proverbs 29, verse 15. Says, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. But a child left to himself, disgraces his mother. Okay. Anybody here want to be disgraced by their children? I don't see any hands up. Okay. What happens when you leave the child to his own devices? Bad things happen, don't they? Bad things. You know, kids have to be taught that there's a penalty for doing wrong. Okay? And, you know, when you use the rod of correction, okay, I think we all know what that's talking about. We'll talk more specifically about that later. But the rod of correction doesn't just impart pain, does it? It imparts something else. Wisdom. What is wisdom?
Knowledge. Discernment.
Discernment, okay. Making good choices. When you're not wise, you don't really understand the consequences of your actions, right?
Mm-hmm.
You might do something not knowing that it's going to blow up in your face. That's not wise. But when you're wise, you know not to do that because if you did, it would blow up in your face.
Yeah.
The rod of discipline imparts wisdom. It helps people to understand. It helps the child to understand that there are consequences. That one of these days, it's not going to be mom and dad with punishment. It's going to be the police. One of these days, it's going to be his employer firing him because he didn't do the job.
Yeah.
One of these days, it's going to be they're going to flunk out of school and they're going to lose their future.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of these days, they're going to find out it's going to be much bigger, much longer lasting consequences. Okay. And so what you want to do is you want to impart that wisdom now. Right. And so, the rod of correction imparts wisdom. Proverbs 29, verse 17, two verses later. Okay. Discipline your son, and he will give you peace.
Mm-hmm.
He will bring delight to your soul.
Amen.
Anybody here want to have delight over your children? You want your children to bring you delight. Okay. Do you think that's possible?
Yeah.
Visualize that for me here
Amen.
For a minute. Think about that. Think about your child, your children, being such spiritual, well-behaved, responsible, respectful, obedient, doing what they're supposed to do, great citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that.
Wonderful.
How's that going to make you feel? People come up to you, when your child's teacher comes up to you and says, your son is awesome. I wish all my kids were like that.
Come on.
Is that the kind of report you'd like to hear?
Yeah.
I won't ask for a show of hands of how many of us are getting that. But what does it say here? This one, your son, and maybe one day it says he will give you peace.
Amen.
He will bring delight to your soul. Follow God's directions and good things happen. Okay? I'm trying to help you to see how important it is. You got to buy into this thing because it's not easy. Okay, it takes consistency. It takes, when you're tired. It takes when there's a lot of reasons to say I don't want to do it this time.
Yeah.
I don't want to deal with this kid. Okay, there's a lot of reasons to say that. We're all tired. We all have jobs. We all have houses. We all have things we have to do.
Right.
And it's just I don't have time to think about discipline. Don't let yourself be there.
Amen.
Okay, don't, you know, let something else slide.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, one of these days, when you discipline, as a result of having disciplined your child the way God says, He's going to bring you peace.
Yeah.
He's going to bring you delight. And so, you got, you know, those are meant to sort of be motivators to us, aren't they, as parents? To help us to put out that extra effort for that prize at the end of the rainbow, right? You know, that prize that, you know, later on in life, you know, as they mature, as they grow, you got to keep your eyes on the prize, right? And here he's giving you something to think about that'll motivate you when in those times when it's hard.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
So I hope that helps.
It does.
Right?
It does.
So, you know, last week or the week before, somebody asked the question, you know, how do we gain respect? Yeah. You know, I was throwing it out there, you know, what are some of the challenges in parenting? And I think that was the first one that came out, respect. Okay. How do I get my child to treat me with respect? How do I get my child to treat my wife with respect? How do I get, you know, get him to respect his teacher? How do you get him to respect? Okay. First thing I want to point out is you have the right to expect respect.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
You have that right. We're going to look at some scriptures to talk about that.
Yep.
You know, you need to communicate to your child using the scriptures
right. That
you have the right to expect that respect. Okay? That in your house, this is the way it's going to be. Okay? We're going to look at some scriptures, and some of these, I don't know if your jaw's going to hit the floor. I don't know if you're going to say, whoa. But we're going to see what some Old Testament scriptures said that the Jews were supposed to do with their children. Okay? When we get through at the end of this list, you know, you're going to realize God considers it a serious matter for a child to respect his parents. Turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Leviticus. Everybody in here know where all the books of the Bible are? Can you recite them? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Kings. You can do that all the way through, right?
Come on.
Okay. You know, that'd be a great thing to do and to drill your children on. Teach it to your children. Okay? You know, but Leviticus, it's the third book. You got Genesis, then you got Exodus, then you got Leviticus. All right? Leviticus 20. Leviticus 20. Verse 9. If anyone curses his father or mother, you should tell him not to do that. Is that what it says?
No.
If anyone curses his father or mother, he must be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, and his blood will be on his own head. Okay. I'm not telling you to go home and put your child to death. All right. I'm showing you in the Old Testament what God told the Jews to do.
Wow.
And he wasn't beating around the bush, was he?
No.
He did. You know, he went right straight at it. You know, he says, if anyone curses his father and mother, he must be put to death. His blood's on his own head. He did it. All right? All right, that's Leviticus. All right, next book is Deuteronomy. Okay? Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Starting in verse 18. I mean, God, if that was the only verse in there, that would be enough to convince you, right? God considers a big deal when a child doesn't respect his father and his mother. Okay. Deuteronomy 21, starting in verse 18. If a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother and will not listen to them when they discipline him, his father and mother shall take hold of him and bring him to the elders at the gate of the town. They shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He is profligate and a drunkard. Then all the men of his town shall stone him to death. You must purge the evil from among you. All Israel will hear of it and be afraid. I guess so. Right? God treat, you know, this, a stubborn and rebellious son who does not obey his father and mother will not listen to them when they discipline him. Okay, that's a serious matter. Okay, now I'm not telling you to go drag your kid in front of some tribunal and have a bunch of people stone them to death. What I'm telling you is, I mean, these passages are in the Bible for a reason, right? I mean, for the Jews, this was their law. Go do this.
Right.
Okay. For us, what it tells us is That's how serious
right.
it is for a child to respect the parents. Okay? Yeah. Your child needs to know that God takes it that seriously.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? They need to know. Okay, Deuteronomy 27, verse 16. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother. Then all the people shall say amen. So they're like, this is something they're reciting in the assembly. Okay. Cursed is the man who dishonors his father or his mother.
Right.
Okay. Now let me say this. How do you honor your father and your mother?
Yeah.
Do you? Okay. It's the same thing, right? You can't expect your kids to honor you and your, you know, their father and mother if their father and mother aren't honoring grandma and granddad, right? Okay. Honor your father and mother. Okay? And you know, it says curse is the one who doesn't do that.
Yeah.
Okay? Proverbs, chapter 20. There's Proverbs about this too, right? You could it's hard to open up the book of Proverbs to a page that doesn't have something about parenting on it.
That's
right?
Sure.
But we're not going to look at all of them. So you can take some relief in that. Proverbs 20, verse 20. If a man curses his father or mother, his lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Okay. Okay. Wisdom of Solomon, right? I don't know if this is Solomon. I didn't verify that. But Proverbs. His lamp will be snuffed out in pitch darkness. Basically the same story, right? He's going to be snuffed out. Proverbs 23, verse 22. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. There we have it again. How are we doing with our mom and dad? You know, they're older now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. You know, as I get older, I feel more personally the need to respect the older people, right? Yeah. One of these days, you hope to be one of them, right? I don't think any of you guys are yet. But one of these days, you hope to be one of the old folks. One of these days, you hope to be somebody's grandma, right? Okay. So, you know, set the pattern now.
Amen.
Demonstrate. Raise your children to respect their elders. And then when you're one of them, you know, you'll get that same thing.
Yeah.
You know, but listen to your father. Do not despise your mother when she is old.
Okay.
As your parents age, they need you. Your respect.
True.
You can help your kids learn to respect you by showing them how you respect your parents.
That's true.
Okay. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks his father, that scorns obedience to a mother, will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley, will be eaten by the vultures. Tells you what God thinks of that. All right. Are you getting the picture here?
Yeah.
This is serious business.
Yeah.
If you want your children to go to heaven, we're going to see in a minute, if you want to go to heaven, you need to be responsible for how you raise your children. You need to take hold of this thing
right.
and train them. You need to discipline them. Okay? You know, it starts from not being a hypocrite. Okay? You, in your house, you want your kids to learn to respect authority. Don't be a hypocrite.
Yeah. Right.
You need to obey and respect authority yourself. Your boss.
Come on.
Mm-hmm. The police.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I'll say this. You know, what kind of talk goes on in your house about the church?
Yeah.
Okay. Wives, what kind of talk do you give to your husbands?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Husbands, what kind of talk do you give to the authorities in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And especially, how do you treat God? You know,
mm-hmm.
you need to show your children you're using the Bible in your life, personally, that you submit to it. When you blow it, you turn to the Bible, you look at it, you show it. Your kids see you sin, they need to see you repent.
Right.
Okay? And you can show it to them in the Bible and say, God is the authority in my life. I was wrong, and I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, don't tell them I'm not going to do that again and then turn around and do it.
Yeah.
You need to tell them you're not going to do it again, but then you need to not do it again. All right?
Yeah.
Okay? You need to model for them the behavior you want them to have. In terms of honoring, of you know, respecting authority. Okay, use the scriptures. I've mentioned that a few times. Use the scriptures in your own life. Use it also with them.
Yeah.
You're calling your children to submit to the scripture, to God, really, right?
Right.
And, you know, I would show them some of these passages. You know, I don't think I'd read through all those passages and talk about killing your kids, you know. it would, you know, your kids get more mature, they're going to see those at some point. You might as well be the one to show it to them. But the point, what you need to do, you need to show them that you have the right to expect their respect.
Amen.
And that God expects them to respect you.
Yeah.
And that when you discipline them, you are obeying God.
That's right.
You're not doing it just because it's in your mind to discipline them, just because you're mad at them.
Yeah.
We'll talk about more about that in a minute.
Mm-hmm.
But you're not disciplining your children for all those reasons. You're disciplining your child because God has told you this is how you need to raise your child.
Right. Right.
Your child needs to know where that boundary is, and there needs to be consequence when they cross it.
Right. Right.
Okay. And that's really, if you want to boil it down into a nutshell, that's how you raise a child. You make sure they know where the boundaries are, and you punish them every time they cross it.
Right.
Every time.
Yeah.
Every time.
That's
okay.
Right.
Now, you know, I am not a fan of having lots of rules in the house. Okay. It's hard for me to remember, you know, much less for the kid. Okay. Needs to be simple, needs to be a short list.
That's right.
Okay. And when they violate it, they get punished every time.
Yeah.
I don't care how tired you are. I don't care whether it hurts you. You know, if it means you don't get to watch TV when they don't get to watch TV, then that's what it means. Okay? But they're not going to get away with it. Okay? They have to pay the penalty. Okay? You know, we had, at a former employer's, we had a refrigerator. And there was a sign on it that said, every Friday we're going to throw away whatever you've left in the refrigerator. And that sign was old and tattered, and there was moldy old food in there that had been there a lot longer than a week. And then one of the secretaries put another sign up there that says, this time we really mean it. Let those words never come out of your lips.
Amen.
Never say, this time I mean it.
This time.
This time I mean it. What does that mean about last time?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, how many of y'all saw The Godfather? There's a line in that movie that ought to be your motto in this area. Every word I say, by definition, is a promise.
That's right. I love it.
Right?
Wow.
Every word I say, by definition, is a promise. You don't have to say, this time I really mean it.
Yeah.
Okay.
That is
it. You know, there's a lot of good lines in Godfather. You ought to watch it sometime. That's one of the best ones. Every word I say, by definition, is a promise. So, you know, you want your kids to obey the first time? What do you think you need to do? Punish them when they don't, right? You know, expect obedience the first time. If that secretary didn't punish them the first time, or the fifth time, or the tenth time, eventually she got tired of it, and she put that sign up there. And you think anybody took that sign seriously?
No.
No. You know, they might have cleaned it out one week, but there's a lot of weeks that came later. So, disciplining your children is not optional. Turn to Hebrews 12. Starting to read in verse 5. And you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. That's how God disciplines us, right? And as our Father, he's showing us how we ought to discipline our children too, right? Okay? You discipline those you love, right? Those you don't discipline are those you hate, right? We've seen that. Okay, he goes on in verse 7. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? Okay? We'll come back to that word. If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet so that the lame may not be disabled but rather healed. That's what the discipline does. It makes those level paths, doesn't it? It says, if you'll stay in these boundaries, stay on the path, you're going to make a lot better headway. You're going to get where you're going. You're not going to fall down. You're not going to get lost in the bush, you know. Makes level paths for your feet.
Right.
So, you know, but who is it he says? It says everybody has one of these that disciplines them, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does say fathers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. I know we got some single moms in the room. And you know, we talked about that last week. I'll reiterate it here. You know, you need to find some male figure to be in your child's life. I don't care if it's a boy or a girl. You need to have somebody who can show them what, number one, what a spiritual man is like.
Mm-hmm.
And can call your sons to be that. Somebody they can, I could be like him one day.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah. You need to have, you know, it could be a big brother. It could be a spiritual grandma and grandpa. You know, like the empty nesters are trying to do for us. You know, don't be bashful. Go up to that male figure and say, please help my child with this. Not just one time.
Yeah.
You know, keep reminding them, you know, but you need to have somebody with somebody's got some continuity in that relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But for the rest of us who we have a father in the house, take hold of that blessing. All right?
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, what son is not disciplined by his father?
Yeah.
If you're a father and you're letting the mother take care of the discipline,
mm-hmm.
you're neglecting your responsibility, your God-given responsibility.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Says it's the father. You know, I don't know of a passage that talks about a mother disciplining the children. Now, you women don't take that as okay. It's not my job. I'm not going to discipline my child because it is okay. But the point is, if there's a man in the house, you take the lead in that.
Amen.
You take the tough cases.
Yes.
All right. You come to your wife's defense. You come in there and step in there when it's hard, when she's fed up or she, you know, she needs that extra support.
Mm-hmm.
You don't let it get to that point. You step in before that.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So fathers, that's your responsibility.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
How does God feel about parents who are lax in disciplining their kids?
Mm-hmm.
Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2.
Right. Wow.
1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to read here some pretty stout words from God towards the father. 1 Samuel 2, starting in verse 27. Okay, we had Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel. Okay, got that? 1 Samuel. All right. 1 Samuel 2, verse 27. Now a man of God came to Eli and said to him, Eli was the high priest, right? Came to Eli and said, this is what the Lord says. Did I not clearly reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt under Pharaoh? I chose your father out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to burn incense, and to wear an ephod in my presence. I also gave your father's house all the offerings made with fire by the Israelites. Why do you scorn my sacrifice and offerings that I prescribed for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me? By fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel. What was happening here? People were bringing their sacrifices to the priest, and they were chowing down.
Right.
They're saying, boy, this is great. I'm going to eat some of that pork. I'm going to eat, or no, it wasn't pork. Okay? I'm going to eat some of that whatever. Yeah. That goat, that bull, you know, whatever it was they were sacrificing, something kosher. But, you know, he says, why do you honor your sons more than me? His sons were doing things that were not right with that food. Therefore, verse 30, the Lord, the God of Israel, declares, I promise that your house and your father's house would minister before me forever. But now, the Lord declares, far be it from me. Those who honor me, I will honor. But those who despise me will be disdained. Yes. Spooky words to hear from God, right? The time is coming when I will cut short your strength and the strength of your father's house so that there will not be an old man in your father, in your family line. And you will see distress in my dwelling. Although good will be done to Israel, in your family line there will never be an old man.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of you that I did not cut off from my altar will be spared only to blind your eyes with tears and to grieve your heart, and all your descendants will die in the prime of life.
Wow.
And what happens to your two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, will be assigned to you. They will both die on the same day. I will raise up for myself a faithful priest who will do according to what is in my heart and mind. I will firmly establish his house, and he will minister before my anointed one always. Then everyone left in your family line will come and bow down before him for a piece of silver and a crust of bread and plead, appoint me to some priestly office so I can have food to eat. I mean, it's a hard prophecy. Here's what I'm going to do to you. Because of what? He was not restraining his son. We're going to see in just a bit. Flip over to chapter 3. Here's where he reiterates that. This is a little more insight into it. Samuel 3, starting verse 10. The Lord came and stood there, calling, as at the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel said, speak, for your servant is listening. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I'm about to do something in Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears it tingle. At that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family, all that stuff we just read, okay, from beginning to end. For I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons made themselves contemptible, and what?
He failed to restrain them.
How's God feel about it when you fail to restrain your children? Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned for by sacrifice or offering. So, from this couple of passages in Samuel, what are the things that parents have to do?
Discipline.
You got to discipline your children. You got to honor God more than your children, right?
Yes, right.
You know, you love your kids. You want to let go. You don't want to see them cry. You don't want to see them angry. You don't want to see them suffer. But you need to honor God more than you honor that child.
Amen.
Okay. So that means you need to be willing to punish them. All right. I hope we can get past that. You need to restrain them from sin. Okay. You can't just stand back and let your kids do whatever they want to do and say, well, that's them. I can't control them. No, you need to restrain your kids. You need to discipline them. And he's holding who responsible for this?
Father.
Eli. Eli's the father. Okay? And you know, the bottom line is don't be a hypocrite. You know, I mean Eli was part of the problem. All right. The kids were falling, they were going beyond what Eli did. But Eli was allowing it to happen. Like if he didn't stand up for what was right. So, we looked earlier at Proverbs 13:24. It says, to be careful to discipline your child. What does it look like to be careful to discipline your child?
Yeah.
Don't be angry.
Okay. Now, all this stuff I'm talking about, you need to make sure you're disciplining your children. What I don't want you to do is get all riled up, say, okay, I'm going to go home and boy, we're going to lower the boom, all right? It has been going on long enough. I owe them about an hour's worth of spanking. Every toy they have is going in the trash. No. Needs to be careful. You certainly don't go in there and lose your temper and blow up at them. All right.
Amen.
We're talking about careful to discipline your children. Okay, so you got to know what careful discipline looks like. Okay. Number one, it needs to be age appropriate. Okay, this is elementary school kids we're talking about in here. Age appropriate discipline for elementary school kids includes spanking. Okay, depends on the infraction. And we'll talk a little more specifically about that in a minute. But the punishment needs to fit the crime, right?
Yeah.
You don't punish them more or less depending on how mad you are at the moment, right?
Amen.
It's calculated. Yeah. It's rational. It's a decision that you can explain to somebody else later.
Right.
You can explain to that kid.
Right.
Okay. It's reasoned out. Okay.
Yeah.
You did this, you're going to lose this. You did this, you're going to get this consequence.
Yeah.
Okay? Careful discipline is consistent.
Yeah.
It's every time, and it's consistent. It's not like one time they did this and they got grounded for 2 weeks. Another time they did this and they just got a stern rebuke.
Okay?
It's consistent. There's a rule, they broke it, and here's the enforcement of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? It needs to be a united front with mom and dad.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay, now how's that going?
Come on.
Okay. If you've got mom and dad not on the same page about discipline, the kids know it.
Yep.
That's true.
And they take advantage of that. They know that one is more permissive than the other. And there's,
wow.
You know, sometimes it's the mom, sometimes it's the dad. But they know that one of you, they can go to one of you and then get away with murder.
Exactly.
The other one, you know, they can't get away with that. And, you know, and especially what they need to see is, they don't need to see mom punishing him for this thing really hard and then dad letting them get away with it.
Right.
Or dad being a lot lighter with it. Okay? There needs to be a consensus. You need to come to a meeting of the minds between mom and dad. What does that mean?
Family meeting.
It means mom and dad have to compromise, don't they?
That's true.
Okay. One of the two of you would, you know, burn the house down over it, you know. And the other one, you gotta meet in the middle. That's gotta be reasonable. Now, we talked about it earlier. The pain of the punishment has to be greater than the pleasure of the sin.
That's right.
Right? So you've got, if the kid doesn't really mind the punishment, you're wasting your time. You're losing respect is what you're doing. You're losing the ability to exercise authority over them. Okay? The kids there needs to be some pain. Sometimes that's physical pain, sometimes that's emotional pain. Okay? You know, I'll give you an example. I can't remember if we talked about this recently with somebody, but I don't think it was here. We had an incident, and I don't even remember what it was the kids did wrong, but they had been clearly warned they were going to be grounded for an extensive period of time if they did this again. They did it again. Okay. So what did we have to do? We had to ground them. Just so happened, they were on a soccer team. They had a big soccer game that weekend. They could not play because they were grounded. That was the rule. They chose a really bad time to break that rule.
Yeah.
That was hard to do. It's especially hard for Sherry. You know, usually in our house, I was the permissive one and she was the strict one. But when we had laid down a rule, we were gonna be consistent. So let me tell you, they never did that again. They never did that. Their friends were really upset with them. But you know, those are the kinds of punishments that change kids.
Yeah.
That change, you know, is the ones they remember. They remember that. They remember that one. How many years later? You know, 15, 20 years later? They remember that one. But they never did it again. Okay? It was not cruel. It was not mean. It was, they knew in advance that was the punishment. Okay? So, you know, not reacting in anger. How do you do that? Because you're going to be angry, right? Sometimes. One way to do it is to say, let me pull out the Bible, let me find the scripture that applies, let me read that to you. There's something about doing that that helps you regain your rational mind. Okay? You need to regain your rational mind. You need to be able to explain to them, this is what you did, scriptures here say it's wrong, you broke this rule, and then you need to say, this is the consequence. Okay? This is going to happen every time you break that rule. Okay? So they need to believe that. You know, we have a 2.5-year-old grandchild who's at our house right now. And we have this, what do you call it, a balcony kind of thing where the second floor hall overlooks the den. And you got this rail there. And she wanted to stick her feet out there and stick it in. And her mother says, keep your feet on the carpet, so she couldn't put her foot on the wood. And so she would put her foot there. And her mother would spank her. And she would put her foot barely there, and she would spank her. Every time she did it, she was testing that line. And, you know, a 2-3-year-old kid will do that. A 12-year-old kid will do that. But, you know, if at a certain point, if they learn that line is always there, and it's always painful, they're going to eventually stop.
Amen.
They're going to stop. Right. And then they're going to find out their life is much easier if they stay inside these boundaries,
yeah,
right?
Come on.
And when they do that, then your life gets a lot easier.
Yeah.
Come on.
And then punishment is not something that comes up all the time.
Right.
You know, you can have peace in the house. You can have, you know, you can enjoy being together.
Right.
Okay? But you got to work for that. That doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
Okay? So again, you know, you're using the scriptures, you're not reacting in anger. You punish on the first disobedience. You don't do this thing, you know, I warned you. You know, what's happening each time you give them a warning? You're getting angrier and angrier and angrier. Okay? You don't have to go there. The first time they do it, okay, the first time they break a known rule, you know, they get the punishment. That's better for your sanity and theirs. If you don't do it the first time, then they're thinking, okay, maybe they won't do it if I break the rule this time. Maybe they won't do it this time.
Right.
You know? And really, it boils down to disrespect. Mm-hmm. Now, after punishment, what do?
Love.
You reconcile.
Love.
Okay. You know, it's like you find the thing that you can build them up for.
Yes. Right.
Okay? Every kid has some. Believe me, your kid has some. You say, okay, all that stuff that we just dealt with, that's going to be gone. We're going to get rid of that. That's not who you are. This is who you are. You are this good kid, you know, and we just need to make sure we keep that bad stuff out of you.
Right.
Okay, but you're going to be this good. You got to believe in your kid. Your kid will live up to your expectations, your real honest expectations. They know what they are. They can see it. You need to build them up. You need to reconcile. You know, give them a chance to repent and to, you know, reconcile. You know, sometimes you have these conversations a few days later. You know, remember that thing that happened back then? You know, says, let's don't do that again. I'm much happier playing and being happy and having fun time with you than disciplining you. But I will discipline you, as you can see, right? And it'll happen every time. But let's don't go there. You get your choice here.
Yeah.
You can have it happy or you can have it hard. Okay, and I'd much rather have it happy. Okay, so you can have those pep talks later, but there's got to be that's after the repentance.
Right.
Okay, reconciliation. Okay, corporal punishment. When do you spank? Okay, you don't spank for everything. Okay, and I'm just going to tell you, I've heard other people do this. This is pretty much the same thing that we did. You spank for the 3 D's. Okay, disobedience, disrespect, and deceit. Okay, so disobedience, they're breaking a known rule. Okay, you told them to clean up the room and they're off goofing off and didn't do it. That's disobedience. You told the kid not to put his foot up there on the rail and they put their foot up on the rail. That's disobedience. They're testing you. Okay, disobedience. Okay, disrespect. Okay, you don't tolerate disrespect. Disrespect gets a spanking. Okay, that's what we did. I'm not saying you have to do this. I'm saying this works. Okay, you need to have some rules like these. This is a short list. It's something you can do every time. You know. Now, let me say something on the disrespect thing. One of the things that we permitted our children to do is if we said, okay, stop what you're doing and come over here and help me with something, or clean up your room, or go do something. Follow this instruction. We would give them one appeal. You can say, Mom, can I finish this page in this book? Mom, can you give me just a couple of minutes? Now, Mom would then answer yes or no. And that's the end of the discussion. Whatever Mom said was now the law. Okay. They didn't. If they asked again, it was disrespect. Disobedience. You can choose your one, but it would be both. They get spanked. Okay. So, but you see how it is. You know, see, you're being reasonable with the child, giving the child a sense of fairness, a sense of being considerate, without giving up respect.
Right.
Okay. You can't give up the respect. You got to demand respect. Okay. As soon as they can understand the rule. The rules got more sophisticated as they got older. But a 2 or 3 year old kid can understand a rule. You know, when Mom tells you don't put your foot on the banister, and you know.
No, the appeal.
The appeal? Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, a kid can understand one time, respectful. I don't have a problem with that being a small child. Okay, I don't know if anybody else has a thought on that.
Nope.
I don't have a problem with that. You know, treat your small child like an adult. You know, if you, they're going to live up to the way you treat them.
Exactly.
Okay, so, you know, how do you use corporal punishment? How hard do you hit? Okay, the basics, you know. You don't do permanent damage, all right?
Amen.
You know, there needs, it's somewhere in between getting the emotional response that you're looking for and doing damage, okay? You've got to be responsible in this, okay? It phases out as the kid gets older. I think, you know, hopefully it's going to phase out anyway as they become more obedient, all right?
Amen.
But there's a point. There's a point at which other kinds of punishment are more effective.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Taking away privileges.
Absolutely.
Okay. We would, even with small children. We had two children fighting over a toy. Rather than take the, rather than make a ruling on which kid gets the toy, we would make the kids figure it out. We'd give them a couple of minutes. If they couldn't figure it out, then neither one got the toy.
Right.
Okay. So that teaches them a maturity skill, right? That we can negotiate, we can come up, and they know, and they're both sitting here saying, well, they both know they're going to lose this toy if they don't work it out. They're motivated. And they can, you know, suddenly they can find that middle ground. Okay? So, you know, you're trying to train your children with more adult skills. All right? So, you know, so basically, how do you give corporal punishment? You explain why you spank, and then you explain again. So they understand that why this happened. It's calm, it's rational, it's a stern voice, and the message is, you're going to be punished every time you do this. You need to not do this. Okay. You know, one other thing about getting the kids to play nicely together, it's better to... And this is my opinion, okay? You got two kids in there that do something wrong. Somebody did something wrong. And one of them's lying. What do you do about that? My advice in that situation is you punish them both. You do not let them get away with lying. Lying doesn't work. Okay? Now, the other kid gets an unfair punishment, all right? What do you think the consequence of that's going to be? Are they going to be mad at you, or are they going to be mad at their sibling that lied about it? Okay, all right. You know, kids have a sense of justice, and they might be willing to take that punishment so that their sibling doesn't get away with it. You know, I've told this. Some of you have heard this story. I love this story. This was smaller kids. I think this was like a 3 and a 5 year old. Might have been 4 and 6. But we had one of these situations where there's a bunch of pots and pans on the floor, and we come up to them and say, okay, who did this? Neither one of them's admitting it. So I pulled these two chairs out in the middle of the kitchen, and I sat them in it, and you said, you're going to sit there until somebody admits it. And it was hilarious. That's all I could do to keep from laughing, because one of those kids is shrinking down in her chair, you know, looking very... beaten. The other kid is sitting there looking at her indignant. When are you going to fess up? You know. It was the funniest thing I think I've ever seen. I love that. So what's even funnier? A couple of weeks later, we had a similar situation. And the 3-year-old goes and starts dragging chairs out in the middle of the room. She liked that. Yeah. Kids have a sense of justice, you know. So, but you know, you can use your own creative juices there. But I would not let the kid get away with lying, even if it meant I had to punish them both. All right. So, okay, you know, there's lots of other kinds of things you got to deal with. You know, do your homework. You know, what are the rules about doing homework? You have to do it before you watch TV. You have to do it before you play video games. You know, you set the rules. You're the parents. You're an authority. You set the rules, and then they have to. And then there's a question of obedience if they obey the rules. You know, clean the room. you need to communicate the rules clearly. If the kid doesn't know the rule, then really it's not fair to punish them for it.
Right.
They've got to know the rule. And so there can't be a long list of them. Right? They got to know the rules. And you quickly get a good feel for what they know about the rules, what they don't. So you're communicating them clearly, and the consequences fit the crime. So, there's a lot more we can talk about. I'll say a couple of words about grades. We didn't punish our kids for their grades. Mm-hmm. What we punished them for is not doing the work.
Right.
If they did the work, then the grades are fine, whatever they are. Yeah, our kids, I remember one time where one of them got a couple of grades that were worse than they ought to have, they thought. And they're talking to one of their friends. Sherry could probably tell you the specific situation, but it was like one of their friends said, "Boy, if I ever took those grades home, I'd be in such trouble." She said, "I'm not going to get in trouble for this one because I did the work. I'm going to get in trouble for this other one that's not nearly as low, but I didn't do all the work. The reason I didn't get an A here was because I didn't do the work." And that's right. She got punished for the B, not the D.
Wow.
Because she didn't do the work. The D was because we had moved and she was not prepared for what that class was doing in the new school. But I think it's really important. Your kids, especially as they get older, they need to start taking ownership for their own future. They're not doing this for you. They're doing it for their future. And so you got to cultivate that. You got to help them think about, what am I going to become when I grow up?
Yeah.
And how am I going to get there? And what does it take to get there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but that just sort of think through. A lot of this is going to be, you get a lot of advice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Proverbs talks about, with many advisors, plans succeed. But without advisors, they fail. Again, Proverbs 29:17. Discipline your son and he will give you peace. He will bring delight to your soul.
Mm-hmm.
So discipline them carefully. Get plenty of advice. And, get united with both parents. And God bless you. Amen.
Happy.
Yeah.